Hey everybody, so before we jump into today's podcast, I just wanted to A, thank you guys, give you a little bit of a reminder. If you enjoy this content, however you're watching it, consuming it, please like, follow, subscribe, whatever you gotta do, comment on it if you can, leave us a review. It really helps us out and it can help grow our platform and reach more people. And if you know someone that can benefit from this, please share it with them. If you have a question, if you wanna reach out to us, let us know. And then lastly, we have all of our amazing programs, courses, and coaching available in the resources below. So check that out. Definitely take advantage of it. We have everything from free options all the way up to paid programs and everything in between to fit pretty much anyone's budget. And it's just a matter of how customized it's going to be based on the price point. So there's really something for everybody. Thank you guys. Let's get on into the episode.
Yeah, fighters. What's up, everybody? It's Mike here. Episode 139 of the Life of a Fighter podcast. And I'm stoked. I'm always excited, but I'm stoked for this particular episode because, you know, we've had some amazing guests on and, you know, from the elite levels of performing coaches to CEOs to scientists to everything in between, our athletes, professional to amateur. And there's nothing like having someone on, not only that's just an elite level of what they do, but also that you just have a long relationship with and you have this kind of rhythm and you feed off one another. And that's what I had with this podcast, with good friend, a good business consultant, and great business owner and coach that works with Life of a Fighter and now has his own brand that's officially launched, Chuck Campagna of Core Camp and Core Camp Fitness. And I've known Chuck for a few years now. Really, it's way more than a few, but I just like saying it, like, because in the grand scheme of things of our lives, you know, we've met later in life at the gym, and you sometimes you just click with people and how you look at life, and they just come in at the right time and the position that you need. And again, you just click. So it's, I call it our gym squad. He's the original, I would say, founder and member of the UFC gym squad over at Huntington, with Coach Tito, with Jarrell, with Ernest, with Tommy, Honey Badger, Steve Nichols. Like, we had this original crew of people that would train, of Tracy. Let's see, am I missing? Well, obviously Pina. Who else? Joe C. Yeah, Joe. Yeah, everybody. But yeah, so we had, just had this awesome crew where we'd go in, train, get our lists, we support each other. And even though I've moved out of state and everyone's kind of moved on with their lives, we all kind of stay in touch in a group chat and we just check in with one another and we keep each other accountable and mess around. And I'm excited because Chuck has been a business consultant for Life of a Fighter and does his own corporate world professional things. And I've been kind of pushing him on the back end of it. And I know he's wanted it himself to get involved in the health and fitness world of his own brand and not just helping out with Life of a Fighter and with the UFC gym where he was helping out at the time, but really having his own brand, his own company, and that's Core Camp. And I just wanted to have him on to talk about it, to support it, and to really show a thanks for everything he's done for me in Life of a Fighter and for us, whether you guys know about it or not. A lot of the direction of the company, the content, the website, the everything we're doing is in big part thanks to Chuck and keeping it organized and keeping me on track. And we'll talk about Legos in the podcast and it'll make more sense when we get to it, but learning how to properly stack your Legos and organize things and keeping priorities. So really excited about that. And yeah, guys, quick shout out to our sponsors, the Stash app. As always, click the link below if you want to get $5 on Stash, free to invest in stocks. And then also, if you want to support the podcast and give us a financial support, you can click on the link below. We'll put it into our invest account and just see what we can do with it. I was excited because we started with $10 and now we're up to, I think, $370 last night, $365. So I appreciate the support, guys. Again, there's no need. Just if you want to, that's cool. If not, no big deal. Yeah, and big shout out to Gym Aware, at Gym Aware on Instagram. It's a velocity-based training tracking tool. We've been using it in the gym and we're going to be taking it around Asheville on a little bit of a tour with some seminars and assessments and working with our fighters. And I'm really excited about being able to use that. Shout out to Jigsaw Massage for sending us their attachments that can go onto pretty much any power tool or jigsaw type power tool. We tried them out. Check us out on the blog, check out their link, Appreciate the support, as always, to all of our Life of a Fighter approved brands. We're actually going to be revamping for 2019 how we're doing our Instagram, because it seems like companies care more about stories these days than posts. So we're going to be putting together a couple of tag stories that'll stay on our profile, like Life of a Fighter approved brands, fighters, coaches, just anything LOF approved, hashtag LOF approved. We're going to put it up there. You'll see a bunch of our brands and companies out there. If there's a brand that you guys want to see, tag us, DM us, let them know, tag that us in their posts, let them know that it's something you'd want to, and I think it'll help with that part of it. And yeah, we just appreciate all the support, guys. It's been amazing to see the company grow, the audience grow, all those fun things. And part of that growth is, you know, signing up for our newsletter, which is free, doesn't cost anything. Click that link below. If you rate and review the podcast or on social media, rate and review our company on the website, on Google, whatever you want to use, Yelp. We just appreciate, give us some perspective, share it with a friend. That's been the biggest growth factor for us, and it continues to be. And in 2019, we're really going to kind of try and leverage that even more to thank you guys and give back, but also to reach even more people and help more people. We have our app in development for 2019, which will be ready for beta test, hopefully come the third and fourth quarter of 2019. So that's really exciting. We just got a bunch of great stuff in the works. As always, this episode and every episode is brought to us by the shop. Go to our shop. We have our Fitness Nutrition Vault membership. I did a Muay Thai seminar at Rogue Combat Club here in Asheville. We did video content for that. I did a PDF with exercise breakdowns that got sent to all the people that came out. I'm going to do another variation of that for our Fitness Nutrition Vault members for free that you guys will get access to. And then for anyone that doesn't want to sign up for it for whatever reason, and you just want the seminar content and video series, we're going to make that available for purchase. And then we'll make even some more exclusive features and whatnot for our members and everyone that signed up for the newsletter. And then I'm doing actually another nutrition seminar on Saturday this weekend, November 3rd, over at Rogue Combat Club. For the members, it's free, and for anyone else, it's donation-based, so you can just kind of show whatever you can afford, whatever you think it's worth. You can throw that at the front desk. And I just want to give back to the community, educate everybody, and share some knowledge and some accountability there, and really showcase to you guys why I think it's important to invest in yourselves and why Life of a Fighter can help you do that. So I don't think it's just like a one-time thing. It's I invest in you guys and in the future and what we're trying to do here. So without me rambling any further, check out the shop, check out the awesome stuff, support our sponsors. If you support us, we really appreciate it. Let's jump right into the podcast with Chuck and get this knowledge going. Yeah, fighters. Record. Yeah, Chuck. So
yeah, Mike.
Thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. It's been too long, and I finally was like, you know what? It's been long enough, right, Chuck?
It's been a long time, Mike, but thanks for having me on.
So yeah, we're going to kind of actually talk about your workout today before I even go into everything about you and us and how and like the whole details of it. But so tell me, how was your workout today? What was kind of the theme of the day? And talk to about,
well,
the list.
Being today, I was the lone squad member because nobody decided to show up at the gym. I decided to do a heavy back day and then do an hour of no-gi rolling afterwards. So it's quite the adventurous day today.
So I actually, I got to be honest, I kind of like that. And when we look at, and when you hear different coaches and talk about the timing of the workouts and like how you want to prioritize it and stuff like that, there's a lot of different school of thought. And I think that I like doing the strength training prior to the skill training, if we have, especially if they're going to be back to back, so long as there's no injuries or anything else going on and you're going to have ample time to recover later in the day and get a good night's sleep and you're fueling properly, all that good stuff. But I think it forces you to kind of have to work on your technique when you're rolling, if it's jiu-jitsu or if you're striking. You have to be very mindful, and I think it reinforces. A lot of people say, well, if you're neurologically getting tired and your energy's tired, you're going to have bad habits. But I think that's the best time to reinforce good habits so bad habits don't even emerge. Because if you're dead tired and you have to hit mitts with Tito, or if you have to do with Tony, or whoever is going to be, and then you're rolling with jiu-jitsu Tony, Professor Tony, you know what I mean? Like, the technique's going to have to just be there. Otherwise, you're going to be getting smacked in the face, or you're going to be getting tapped every 3 seconds, which, as opposed to...
Yeah, we don't want to be getting tapped every couple of seconds. But yeah, 100%. I like to kind of exhaust my system, so when I do go into jiu-jitsu, I have to be very technical. I can't rely on my strength. And that was one thing that I started when I was first going through my process and my journey with jiu-jitsu. I was using my strength more than my technique. I didn't have any technique when I first started, so... I was very reliant in my strength, And it turned out to be, you know, like a crutch because I wasn't using any technique. So now what I like to focus on when I go into the gym is I'll do an hour of strength training and then I'll do like an hour of either gi or no gi training. But I like to focus on pure technique when I'm going into jiu-jitsu. I don't really like to rely on the strength anymore. So I'll exhaust my system before I go into jiu-jitsu.
I think that's amazing. I completely agree with that approach, especially when someone, for anyone that doesn't know Chuck, just think muscle shark. Like that's just, it's going to be a big muscle.
Yeah,
or T-Rex.
I have many
T-Rex, right? Like with the squad.
Some good, some
maybe
bad.
The Hulk a little bit. Yeah. But all muscular nonetheless in strength. And that can also lead to some fatigue there as well. So anyways, I say all that to just kind of paint a picture there. But I thought it was interesting talking about that first so people can get an idea of a day in the life too. And run us through, like, so we did some back work. What were you specifically working on?
All right. So when I got into the gym, I just wanted to fire up my, you know, neurological system. So I just did some dynamic stretching, some warm-ups, you know. And once I got done where I started feeling a little bit mobile, I started feeling a little bit sharp. I went right into my deadlifts, and I don't like being the fact that I'm, jiu-jitsu practitioner every single night. I try to not do a lot of barbell work because my joints are just destroyed as it is. So I decided today I was going to do some trap bar deadlifts. It's very less pressure on your joints. So I started out, went right into warming up, did one minor set with 135 just to fire it up, went right into 225. Two sets at 225, jumped right to 315, did two sets at 315. From there, jumped right into 405. And then, you know, again, once I get starting to get into the heavier weights, I'll only do like a 3x3 with the heavier weights. And then I wanted to see exactly how far I could push it, being the fact that I hadn't, you know, deadlifted heavy in quite some time. So I did a 3x3 with 405. And then, you know, just to see how far I could push it, I just did one set at 470. And then I knocked it back down around 2305 again. And then I just AMRAPed the last set at 305. And then from there, I just went into some supportive movements with some, you know, lat pull downs, single arm rows, all the supportive movements afterwards.
Nice. And the only question I have is like, you know, what was funny as you were describing everything you're doing, I'm like, I have a checklist of questions I want to make sure that we cover. And you're just like, all right, check, check, check. I don't even have to ask any questions. The only thing I'm curious about is the rest periods you're doing in between, because I find that sometimes the hardest even for me is I get bored resting for more than 30 to 60 seconds. And typically, especially when you're going with those higher intensity lifts and the higher weight,
it was about 2 minutes. And once I started getting into the heavier weight, it was about 2 minutes rest in between sets. I usually get bored in between sets as well. But you know me, there's so many people that like to come up and talk to me while I'm in the gym. So, you know, the 2 minutes can easily turn into 3 minutes. And if I'm not watching the clock, I really start to lose focus of time. So, I like to throw the headphones on and you want to talk to me in between, you know, exercises. I'm okay with that, but I usually like to try to narrow it down to about 2 minutes in between sets.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point too, especially, 100%. Chuck, you're probably the most asked individual at the gym with questions and different things, at least especially when we talk about like UFC gym days and even – and it's still UFC gym days, but Farmingdale. I was thinking of originally Huntington and now in Farmingdale. But so, yeah, the only thing I wanted to mention on there that I think can be very helpful, and I was talking to a client about it yesterday, was you could say, all right, I'm going to rest 2-3 minutes, whatever the time frame is. But you could say, oh, I'll just watch the clock or listen to a song or something like that. But I find it very helpful to set a timer on my phone every single set, every single time. Otherwise, like you said, 2 minutes will easily turn to 3, if not more, depending on conversations. And at least I find it less socially awkward when an alarm's going off. It's like, hey man, that's my alarm, time to lift. I'm not just being a dick and saying, all right, hold on, which
Not even that it's being a dick.
You have to set a timer. And if somebody sees that you're walking around with a timer in your hands and you're really, staying true to your rest periods and you're timing it, they'll kind of respect that a little bit more than just, hey, man, the song's over. I gotta get to work. So I find the same thing. I have to have, my rest periods on a timer, because if I don't, again, you just lose focus with so many people coming up to you, asking you questions, asking you to look at their, spot them, look at my form, do this, do that. I try to be as helpful as much as possible, but I want to get my workout in too.
Boom, exactly. And that's why I think so many times coaches, and even when I would notice sometimes at gyms that I would be at, I would almost want to train at another gym or another location to get a little bit of peace of mind or just peace and quiet while you're trying to lift. So no one recognizes you and walks up to you and says, oh, can I just talk to you about this? Especially a lot of them, if they're your clients, you want to be accommodating, but it's also respecting your time as much as, like, when you're putting it to training, you have a budgeted amount of time. Every minute could be crucial depending on how busy the schedule gets.
Yeah, you have to stay true to it, because even if you go to another gym, work out at another gym, there's only a matter of time before people start coming up and asking you questions at that gym.
I'll come back.
There's only so many gyms in the area that you can go train in and feel comfortable.
Yeah, that's another good point too, actually. So speaking of gyms and going in, feeling comfortable, that I think that's a pretty good segue into like how we first met, especially at UFC gym in Huntington. And then I wanted to take, so you kind of can explain it from your eyes and your perspective. And then also
how you originally going back to the days that we met, Mike, I think I still remember the first day that we met.
I'm really excited about it.
Because my wife was going to that UFC gym, Huntington gym, and I was going to the big corporate UFC gym, New Hyde Park gym. And this the New Hyde Park gym was a old, grocery store that was gutted out. It was huge. It had everything in it. My wife was running over to the UFC gym, Huntington gym, which was a much smaller gym. She's like, you got to check this gym out. You're going to love it. It's small. It's got everything you need. And I went to the New Hyde Park gym that I was kind of against it. But she finally got me to go over one day. And I remember you and Kyle were working in the dumbbell area. And my wife and I had run over. It was like about a 2-mile run. So we ran over to the gym, and as soon as we got to the gym, I looked over in the dumbbell area, and I think the dumbbells only went up to like 75 pounds. And I was completely discouraged. Womp. I think I kind of made fun of you and Kyle a little bit, because you guys were so pumped up about being in that dumbbell area, and I only saw 75-pound dumbbells. So. But, that gym grew on me so much with you being there, with Kyle being there, with the environment that we had. I bailed on the New Hyde Park gym and I started going to that Huntington gym, just because the environment that that you guys, created there was amazing. Like, when you walk into a gym and Mike, you're the first person that you remembered everything. I could hear you from across the gym shouting out, yeah, Chuck, as soon as I walked through the door. That's the type of environment you want to breed in a gym. And it just made me feel like I was home.
That's awesome, dude. And I appreciate that perspective, because I think it's funny and ironic that I originally started at the New Hyde Park location before it even was open. This was when they were still doing construction and whatnot. They were going through the hiring process. And I was one of the first trainers that was hired. I think it was a group of 16 of us or 12. And I remember thinking, it was funny, a lot of the guys that were, like, especially Wayne Barrett, I had trained kickboxing with him at American Top Team a while back, and he was one of the original coaches before he got into Glory. And we had a really high-level team of coaches like TJ Lopez, who is a great baseball and performance coach who works with CC Sabathia and a bunch of the other high level professional MLB, NFL, all that good stuff. And anyways, the list goes on and on, but I felt like the environment was just different. And I feel like you felt it there, whether it was from the client perspective or the coach's perspective or whatever the member perspective is, it was just like a typical sales corporate environment and not as intimate, not as like interactive based. I feel like with some of the coaches it was, but when I left, for a couple different reasons, and going to Huntington, that was the biggest thing I wanted to create. And I also felt it was kind of already there. And I think that a lot, and good call on the owners and management at the time for allowing that environment to be that way and not coming down too hard and saying, all right, this is, it's working out, was awesome. So anyways, coming to the gym and get training, the environment, but originally talk to us before you even came into the gym.
Again, you hit the nail on the head. I was in the corporate world. I was director and general manager for this high security logistics company where I was traveling the world.
Prior, talk to us a little bit about that and how you knew.
2-3 weeks at a rip where I would be overseas somewhere. I came in, into that position at that job as a very healthy individual. You know, I was about 225 pounds, I was an active power lifter. But when I got into that position, I was traveling the world so much that I kind of sidelined all of my training. And when you travel that much and you're going overseas, you just tend to develop bad habits. You're not training, you're eating the local cuisine, you're not really watching what you're putting in your body. And I ended up blowing up to about 270 pounds, completely unhealthy. And, one day it just, I was tying my shoes and I was just winded. And I said to myself, man, I don't want to be this way anymore. You know, chasing your kids, you get winded tying your shoes, you're getting winded tying your shoes. Just was a very unhealthy lifestyle. So I had the opportunity to leave that position and get a local job in Long Island. And then I just refocused and recommitted myself to going down a healthy path.
Boom. I think that a lot of people could probably relate to the first phase of that, of getting into that corporate world, letting some things fall through the cracks. I can even relate to that too in a couple different ways, whether it's like having Lena, first child, or like getting married and then afterwards and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, going on tangents here, we're going to bring it back to you and what we're just talking about. So the difference is not only people can relate to the first part, but a lot of times people can't relate to the second part, whether it's because they don't know what steps to take or they just maybe don't want to admit it or face it. It's a hard truth sometimes to be like, all right, I'm not at my best. I'm not at my healthiest. I'm making bad decisions. They're kind of complacent being in that
position. Yeah, I mean, just going back, my parents had owned a gym since I was a little kid. My uncle was the actual original owner of the gym, and he brought my mom in. And my mom, was a power lifter, personal trainer. We were always born into this. I was born into this world. So every day, the school bus dropped me off in front of the gym. My job was to go around and pick up everybody's weights that they left on the floor. I became a personal trainer at the age of 16. It was the environment that I grew up in. My mom being a power lifter, her boyfriend, or you want to call my stepdad at the time, he was a power lifter as well. They were both personal trainers. Every single day being at the gym, I was lifting when I was at a very young age, and I grew up in this environment. My mom outbenched me until I was a sophomore in high school. As a sophomore, as a football player, as a wrestler, you think you're this big guy, you're walking around, you're going to a gym every single day, but your mom still outbench you. So that was something to be said. But I was always born into the fitness world, the strength training world, the powerlifting world. It was something that my family just did.
And at what point was it where you knew that it was not only something that was important, but it was different than what maybe other people grew up with.
Because they go hand in hand. I mean, if you're active, if you're healthy, you're going to think better.
Your body's just going to work better as active or paying attention to these kind of things. And it's kind of sad that
a big process and a big thing with the fact that Americans are overweight. Everybody's overweight.
To education and life and learning and growing up. I thought
back in the day when I was going to the gym, I knew it was special when, you know, I'd look at a lot of my friends who didn't have the same type of, you know, environment growing up, where their family was very overweight and they'd turn very overweight. My family was always very healthy, very powerful, very strong. I'd had this opportunity since I was a little kid. So I knew it was special when I was in high school. I kind of developed it into what I wanted to kind of grow my family into. But I had to bring it back because that corporate environment that I was in had me stuck into this environment where I lost focus on everything. So to realize that I needed to bring it back to something that I grew up in that was super special, it was just like I woke up one day and I just had to do it. I got an incoming call here. It's probably somebody that has a lot of questions for me. All right. Let me just get rid of this call real quick. All right. So, I mean, what we were talking about, you know, identifying the fact that it was special for me when I was growing up, identifying the fact that right now in this environment that we live in right now, you don't see a lot of
Chuck's a popular man, everybody. Even no matter what's going on, that's I guarantee somebody that has questions for him. Like, hey, Chuck, what do I do about this?
PlayStation, kids get their exercise playing Fortnite, and they think that that's that's exercise. That's exercise sitting in front of a computer and playing on a computer all day. You very rarely see a group of kids outside playing flag football. Back when I was growing up, that was the environment that we bred. You know, if you got to play on your Xbox or your iPad, you know, or something like that, it was Atari or ColecoVision back when I was growing up. That was something you did on the weekend for a short period of time. But if your friends wanted to play some flag football, you were outside playing flag football. You don't see that in this day and age right
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, and that's something that I think it starts with us and each individual person. Like, and now look at how you raise your kids and your family, and you guys are all active together. You go to the gym together. You encourage them to do healthy things, but you're also not depriving them of anything either, where it's like, okay, if you want that, let's look at what maybe we'll either earn it or it's at a certain time and a place or whatever have you, but or giving them options and educating them on, okay, this is why we want to do this decision. But I think kind of segues nice into, so you're now getting back into the gym in your own fitness, but even beyond that, like you were helping me with my business, with Life of a Fighter and with UFC gym behind the scenes things and coordinating and seeing different things that are going on, getting back into that world and getting that passion back and look like from my eyes and that fire to be back in that world. Now you're at that point where I'm really excited to see that Core Camp Fitness is up and running and corecamp.com. For those that want to check it out, and you're going to have the links below for social media, the website, programs, about all that good stuff, and Core Camp Fit on Instagram. You guys should check it out. Talk to me about that process.
It really all came together
what the stages
when we were all
were
together
like,
at
okay,
the
I'm back
gym,
into fitness.
You know,
I
everybody
really like
was kind
okay, you know what? I want
to
start to educate myself more. And that's the other thing
go,
I have to give you credit for, too, is you could have just gone back into it from your credentials
police,
in the past,
form,
but you re-educated yourself even more to bring yourself further up to date with the times and information and get new certifications and invest in
yourself. It got to a point where working with you, working with a lot of the other trainers, it lit a fire under
me. Where were those checkpoints? Like, okay, I want
to
start now doing this for myself
to kind of get myself back into the mix of things. Because like I said before, I was a personal trainer when I was 16 years old. So I did have a lot of foundation there. But there's so many things that have changed from when I was a personal trainer in that 1980s, 1990s kind of vibe of, you know, going to the gym and just lifting heavy the time and, you know, doing chest and tries, back and buys, you know, everything has changed. There's a whole different environment that's out there right now. So I wanted to re-educate myself and kind of just put some more education behind what I already knew. And again, we were working out at the UFC gym. So you introduced me to boxing, and, you know, Tommy introduced me to jiu-jitsu. There were so many other things beyond just lifting weights to incorporate into a workout plan, whether it be the, you know, the HIIT training or the boxing or the kickboxing or jiu-jitsu. There's so many things to re-educate myself on. So I took it upon myself to renew all my certifications by working with you and with Life of the Fighter, just to re-educate myself on nutrition, to reach out and build my network. So by reaching out to Dr. Tom Bolella and going and sitting with him and educating myself through his process as to what to do, by sitting and working with you and educating myself with your process, it kind of got me to kind of piecemeal together the way I wanted to see my nutrition and workouts go, and then what I could do for others.
Boom. And I think to your point, to even expand upon a little bit more, especially by seeking out Tom Bolella and myself, or Dr. Tom Bolella and myself, and just the investment of time and energy and resource. But you not just took time, but you, a lot of times I feel like people make the excuse, oh, well, I can't because of X, Y, or Z, whether it's money or time, or like you budgeted, put it aside, invested in yourself. And that to me is the most impressive part of it, is not just saying, oh, well, I'll kind of just put myself on Instagram, make awesome videos, put a link, and charge people for online coaching without really doing anything myself
I don't like to limit myself to
get yourself results, to make yourself look good. It's another thing to understand the mechanics behind it, how the engine's running, to do it for other people.
So I was really impressed by
your, not just ability to do that, but your understanding to even do that.
You can be somebody who just came in and you've never.
So now, I think because of
at all,
where you're at and
work from
what you're able
up.
To do, I kind of want to talk about who's kind of the ideal client for you, someone that's
really
listening in our audience.
Is I like working with athletes.
What do you think? I mean, there's a we have
that
really a couple
anybody.
Really, I would say, niches,
an athlete to me,
what would you
is,
talk
again,
about if someone was looking to train with you? Well, who would they be?
You could be just a stay-at-home mom. But if you're willing to invest the time to come into the gym every single day and invest the time into your nutrition, that's an athlete. If you're willing to invest that time to make that change and to stick to it, that to me is an athlete. And I'm willing to work with any type of athlete.
And I think that's actually a great approach to looking at it, and a mindset behind it too, is where you're not just saying, oh, okay, I'm a stay-at-home mom, for example, or I'm a working mom, or I'm a working dad, or college student, or whatever. I need to do X, Y, or Z. Maybe I don't even know. But by looking at it, it's a process. It's an application of it. You can improve performance. That's why I even like the term as like a performance coach, because regardless if it's an athletic performance enhancement, or if we're talking about even just a cognitive performance enhancement, so at work or in school, you're retaining information like more and faster, but then you can also regurgitate that information faster and recall more and apply and have a little like shave time off of it.
I want to build up core camp as much as possible. I just want to.
I think that's awesome.
And it's not just all about money.
Where do you see?
You know,
so I kind of want to
society. It's about anybody who wants to help.
You, let's talk about educate kind of them, some to walk them down that path. Setting,
you know, and what for some me, of the goals having are guys like you in my network, and where you'd you know, like Dr. it to Tom be, Bilella, and
things like that.
You know, listening to a lot of podcasts like Joe Rogan, Joe DeFranco, you know, having Coach Tito, Coach Tony, all these different coaches around me in my environment, they helped change me. So if I could be that type of coach for somebody,
tools and equipment that we can get,
and that's the way I want to build Core Camp.
Where do you see Chuck
in 3 years? I'd like to see, me be able to walk, because again, I'm still in that corporate world. I still go to work every single morning, and I have clients that are texting me all throughout the course of the day while I'm trying to do my job. And then I leave work and I go to the gym, and I'm at the gym for, 3 to 4 hours a night, every single night, helping people, training myself, So where I'd like to see Core Camp in the next 3 years, I'd like to be able to walk away from that corporate world and focus all of my attention on helping people with their fitness and nutrition lifestyle. Within 5 years, I'd like to see a brick and mortar type of gym develop for Core Camp, and then 10 years, obviously, just continue to roll with that success and be one of the top trainers in America. Well, there's always an option. What I usually like to do with people is I have an app. It's called My PT Hub, and I have everything through my app. So I can upload videos and their workouts right through the hub. I can also upload their nutrition plan.
Love it, Chuck.
And I can communicate with those clients directly through that plan.
As part of that,
I like to kind of give everybody an assessment before I start to work with them. So we'll do a face-to-face, either FaceTime or Skype or whatever it may be.
And then,
from there, it's all about accountability. And that's the one thing I think that's lacking with a lot of the online fitness coaches right now is accountability. But I keep my client base manageable, where I can constantly check up on my clients and give them the accountability that they're looking for. It's very easy for an online coach to just accept a client and, upload a fitness plan and upload a nutrition plan and then walk away from that client and not see the results. I'm constantly communicating with my clients through the My PT Hub app, and checking in with them to see how their progress is going. If I don't see them logging their workout for the day or logging their meals through the day, I'm sending them a message that day as to, hey, where's your log for the day? Did you work out today? What did you eat today? I didn't see anything posted for breakfast or lunch. Where yet? Why did you fall off the map? What's going on? So a lot of the online clients right now have, I'm communicating on a daily basis, multiple times throughout the course of the day with them. Because I think that accountability thing is really what's missing in the online world.
Boom. That's well, first off, well said. And that's awesome. And that's what the biggest thing. And I think I look at it for two different words to describe what I think mostly we'll see in the fitness industry and the health industry in general is you have a coach and you have a trainer. To me, the trainer is that person that, right, like you're saying, that's going to be with you, maybe write your program up and that's it and walk away. Or if they're in the gym with you, they're going to train for that hour and then won't really have anything for you, interact with you in checking and nothing like that until the next session. A coach is someone that's 24/7. They have not only the time they're spending with you for training, but then away from that, either holding you accountable, giving you things to either educate you, assign homework, blah, 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 give you routines to do on your own, checking in, holding you accountable, all those things. So that's why, it was important to me to not only have you on to talk about a story and a little bit about your background to inspire people, but also to just share, like, this is a really good way to go about it. And that if someone thinks that's a good fit, I think obviously that's why you're a Life of a Fighter approved, not only brand, coach, everything, that they should reach out, because I think that, like you were saying, on Instagram, on everything else, you're going to see
You know, I'm not going to close any opportunity, but right now I want to focus on changing people's lives.
There's no substance to
it. And the majority of changing people's lives for me right now, where I find happiness is changing their life with fitness and nutrition.
I wouldn't close an opportunity for somebody who wants to,
you know, reach out to me and say, hey, I'd like you to come in and take a look at my business model right now.
If it fits
with what I'm trying to do, then great, I'll go in. And if I have time to do that, I will. Remember, you and I've had many conversations about Legos. And in my opinion, you want to make sure that Lego is going to fit in your business model. And what I mean by Lego is, you know, right now I've got my fitness, I've got my family's fitness.
Can I work with you, or is that something that you want to maybe push off for a while?
Prospective clients' fitness. Will consulting kind of fit in with what I want to do right now? Maybe. I've got to see if that Lego can kind of stay on top of all the other Legos and fit in with what I want to court, the direction I want Court Camp to go. Again, I wouldn't close that opportunity, but right now maybe that Lego wouldn't fit in the file. Yeah, you don't want to step on a Lego in the middle of the night. I'll tell you that right now. For a little bit.
Boom. I love the Legos analogy. That's something that you guys that I we've talked so much about, and it really – it not only makes sense, but it's just such, I think, a funny analogy, especially now that we're starting to have kids. When I say we, I mean me and Ash are starting to have kids, and I'm going to be talking more about Legos in general probably. Oh, I could imagine. Don't want to stub your toe, bang your knee, or step on Legos or any kind of toys.
Ooh,
I feel like, at least right now,
where
Lena's at,
Fridays,
it's all
huh?
round toys or soft stuff and squishy stuff, so it's not going to hurt, at least for a little bit. We'll see. I'm sure that'll – yeah, for 2 weeks. 2 weeks at a time. That's how I try and take everything. So, Chuck, dude, that's – we have so many – like, so this is the big thing. We have to break it up into chunks because then we can talk about more insight into – we could either talk from a business perspective, from a training perspective, from an athletic application, from the aging populations where we're at, from 25 and younger, 25 and older, 55 and older, how those change, hormones, nutrition, impact on that, micro, all this fun stuff. So we have to like – I'm glad we got on, but now we got to make this kind of a more regular thing. And might even have to talk about office some Power Hour Fridays. And we might even have to
I think I'm going to have to make a trip down to Asheville. And go,
I think it might have to be like maybe a Facebook Live thing or where we just talk for – and we do a Q&A maybe to the audience and see what happens, or on Reddit, AMA, Ask Me Anything or something like that. I think it could be exciting. So I kind of put it out to the audience here to see some feedback. Reach out to us on social media, emails, comment below. Let us know if there's something that you want. I'm sure Chuck might be able to find the time maybe. We'll see if we can get into a schedule. And I'll definitely make sure that we can find a way to make it happen. So – pow. Yeah, Chuck. I love it. So yeah, it's time. I'm actually going to go hiking. Dude, that's the one thing I love about being in Asheville and being in the mountains is like the ability on the weekends when I have the time to go hiking and just get out in nature. And it's a little chilly right now, so it's the perfect where you break a sweat. And now you can just kind of get naturally built in AC. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck. And then we'll get some training in. And hopefully. I actually – so we're talking to this farm that's in town, the Bliss Retreat
Belt,
Farms.
You guys
should check them out.
But I'll tell you what.
They
the jiu-jitsu
really
journey
cool
has been an incredible journey for me.
Acres. And they have about 20 acres that you can rent out with like the different buildings they've built on the property, and they're building an outdoor like fitness platform now where you can do like yoga outside the middle of nature with trees and stuff. And it's really, really cool. So when you come down, we'll have to take a trip over there.
Sounds like we gotta have more podcasts together, my friend.
So many things, Chuck. So many things.
I like it.
I know, dude. And I haven't trained in the gi in like a year since Thailand. So I've just been doing no-gi work, and it's been like once or twice a week. So I'd be really excited to see where those skills are at. Now you're a blue belt. You know what I mean? I haven't rolled with you since you've been a blue belt. Right? Not hopefully, definitely. To black belt, man. Yeah, and we also got to talk about boxing. We got to talk about your experiences with that and the charity fundraising. And there's so many stories to talk about, Chuck. So many different things we got to come back and break down. So that's it. Power Hour Fridays. That's where we're coming from. We can even break it down between questions. So I appreciate the time, Chuck. And we put the social media below. We put the website link below.
Absolutely. You know, we can talk about nutrition, another podcast, whether or not keto is right for you, you know, what supplements to take while you're doing it.
Reinforcement of quality.
Every diet is different. Every person is different.
So if you find something that's
ketosis may not be the option for you, but we can certainly discuss that.
Weight training equipment or anything like that, gym facility, whatever it is, even consulting. Anything like that, you put your stamp of approval and you stand behind it. So I know that your wife, Pina, has ketone supplement, Keto OS, that she's a fan of. I'm a big fan of it. It's something that we support as well. You guys can check out that link below. And that's even a whole topic we might have to break down too, Chuck, is just getting into ketosis, ketones, how you can apply it, especially as we age and performance. When's it a good time? When's it a bad time? Your experience with all that good stuff. I'm starting to ramble now here, Chuck. So I'm going to cut it here. Bam. Yeah, Chuck. All right, guys. So that's how we're going to cut it here for this week's. Thank you, Chuck, as always, for the time, man. I appreciate it. You're the man.
So I just wanted to say thank you guys again for watching, listening, consuming that episode. If you guys enjoyed it and you haven't already, please like, please comment. If you haven't reviewed, please leave a review. If you haven't followed or subscribed, please do that as well. Again, it tremendously helps us out. And then just a quick reminder, if you guys want more resources, we have them below. We have our programs, everything from free all the way up to paid and kind of everything in between. Dial in with the customization, and we have more information on different programs and resources in our newsletter. So if you haven't signed up for that, do so below. It's free. And that is it, y'all. See you on the next one.